Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. One of the things that I love and did not expect nor see coming when I accepted this position here at Breadbox Media as a Seeking Heart radio show host was all the cool things that I am blessed to preview, to review, to some of them I'm blessed. The good thing you can count on me is if I'm talking about something, I loved it. If I don't talk about it, probably didn't love it so much, or I'm just too busy to get to everything that gets sent to me. I get lots and lots of books, which, I mean, I'm a book nerd, Catholic girl, book nerd girl, but, and you know that, so I talk about the books a lot, but sometimes every once in a while, God sends me something really special and different. I'm going to start today's show. We're going to get to Seven Secrets of Confession. This is this week we're looking at the Seven Secrets series. Try to say that seven times fast, or just two times fast, or once, really. Let's be honest. Yesterday, we looked at the Seven Secrets of the Eucharist. Today, the Seven Secrets of Confession. And tomorrow, with Vinnie Flynn, the author himself, live here 10 a.m. on A Seeking Heart, we'll look at his newest book, Seven Secrets of Mercy. The other two, Eucharist and Confession, the Eucharist book transformed and changed my life. I'd already been in love with Confession when the Confession book came out, but it really is such a valuable resource. I use it often when I'm trying to remind myself of all the things I love about Confession. I think you're going to enjoy that conversation coming soon. And then tomorrow, again, Vinnie Flynn will be here and we'll talk about his Seven Secrets of Mercy. And this is from Mercy Song, in conjunction or collaboration with Ignatius Press. So what did God send me this time this month? This is so cool. It is called hashtag Catholic Chic, C-H-I-C, Catholic Chic. And it's one of those subscription boxes. I don't know if you've probably heard of Birchbox. That's a pretty big one. I used to do that one myself. It comes with like makeup and different makeup be kind of products, beauty products. There's the word beauty products. And I loved it, but it spoke to my face. It didn't really speak to my soul. And then I was sent from the good people over at hashtag Catholic Chic, a chic box. And it came this week. And you probably, if you're on Instagram with me at Reconciled to You, you saw, or even if you're on my Facebook, because I love to send my stuff from Instagram over to my Facebook, you saw that I had a good old time uncovering and taking all the stuff out of this box. So let me tell you, first it's wrapped, you open it up, and on the back of the box itself has this called paper prayer. And in it is from the community of other people who subscribe to Catholic, to hashtag Catholic Chic. They have a prayer in there. So you're going to pray for somebody else and you can send in your own prayer. Loved that. Very much loved that. And then it's wrapped in, this one was wrapped in pretty pink paper. And then each individual thing was wrapped in black tissue paper and had like those little, those crinkly black and white noodly things all around it. It was wonderful for somebody like I don't know. For me as a mom, I feel like we have very limited resources here in my house. So I'm always giving to, it's like, it's a mom's job, mom's and dad's job, right? Our kids come first. The household comes first. We come last. So to receive this, it felt like this like a little special something for me. And I really enjoyed digging in. There was pink, a little pink lip gloss that was strawberry mint flavor. I love scented lip glosses, especially because I'm always watching my weight and watching what I've eaten. And, you know, I can't have gluten. I can't have dairy. Now, apparently, I can't have almonds. I have limited things I can eat. God bless my mom. I went with her to lunch this week to do our little annual Christmas shopping. And I just, maybe she doesn't realize. Oh, obviously she doesn't listen to the show. She has no idea my struggles with this gluten and dairy intolerance and the allergies. And we're talking about her diabetes. Please keep her in your prayers. It's getting much worse. And she looked at me, God bless her, and she said, "You just have no idea what it's like not to be able to eat things." You're right. I have no clue. She's cute. We'll pray for her. So the flavored lip gloss is a blessing, and I have to remember not to chew my lips off or eat the lip gloss. It's such a girly thing. It was a cute little pink cover. I loved it. And then there was Catholic coloring art. So this is little like cork board, and it says clear your mind while you color these Catholic adult coloring cards. Once complete, display them on your clip frame. And the clip frame is adorable. And the pictures were wonderful. There was a butterfly one. So Allison was pretty happy, though my daughter quickly absconded it so that she could color it. There's a picture on Instagram of her, Faithy and I coloring together these little adorable cards. They're small and they're just sweet. I love the adult coloring, but you know, the big books, like I don't have time to color a whole adult coloring book. My daughter Faith and I have one from the Daughters of St. Paul that I absolutely love. They sent it to me to review, and her and I keep it on the breakfast nook where we get her ready for school in the morning. And when we have extra time, her and I open it and color it. But there's just something about being able to complete a little task. So her and I did some coloring when we opened it yesterday or the day before yesterday. Love it. Then, so these, the hashtag Catholic Chic subscription boxes, they speak to your mind, your body, and your soul. So their mind had the coloring pages. And so, of course, every month you'll get something different. The body was Our Lady of the Lily Soap. Exfoliate your skin with this lovely lily-scented soap. It's just nettle leaves gives the soap an added scrubbing boost. That's always nice, especially in the nice Northeast when we get a little dry around here. It's good to pamper ourselves. And for your soul was a stretch rosary ring. So cute. It's red and blue and kind of like marbled. I loved it. And a little cross on it. Enrich your prayer life. Up your fashion game. Make this rosary ring an everyday accessory and say a decade on the go. Sweet. Love it. Love it. Love it. Then also underneath all of it was this little surprise I didn't see coming. It was a Christmas ornament. It was four individual keys, pretty good size skeleton type keys with big red ribbons on them. And you could, it says, hang them on your door. So when you opened your door, it would clink, you know, make that noise. Or it went with this, the quote that they included from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. The Catholic faith, he says, is like a lion in a cage. You don't need to defend it. You simply need to open the cage door. Isn't that wonderful? And so they gave this Christmas ornament, and it had four individual keys with the ribbon. So I've decided that I am going to share. I'm going to take one for myself and share it with three of my closest friends to pray for, every time we see it, to pray for each other, or just remind them how much I love them. I just thought that would be a neat way of sharing the love. And then I went on hashtag Catholic chic, I can say that, C-H-I-C, and I subscribed. I couldn't help myself. I had to. It was so cool. I can't wait for next month. It was just one of those things that come and you just have to have it. There's another one coming out, another Catholic box coming out. I'll tell you about that in February. I believe it launches. I've already signed up for that too. It's one, you know, part of, not only do I want this for myself because it's fun and I'm a Catholic dork, and anything that has to do with my Catholic faith, I just want to gobble up, but I also want to support these small Catholic business owners who are trying to do something, really stepping out in faith, literally, and sharing their faith, creating things that their hope will spread the faith, evangelize. So I really wanted to support them. So that's why I subscribed. I'll be reviewing it over on reconciledtoyou.com, the blog, hopefully by Friday. I sat down this morning to write a review on a book I just finished reading, Dr. Ray Gurundi. If you've not heard Dr. Ray, you have to listen to him. He's out there on the radio waves somewhere. Excuse me. He plays in the Boston area, I think on noon around here. But I've seen him live. I've seen him speak live. I love his books. He's an adoptive parent like myself. Except for he has 10 adopted kids and I only did it once. But his advice, his parenting advice is right on the point. It's right on the money. It's Catholic oriented and he's hysterically funny. So the book is called Advice Worth Ignoring. To ignore some of the parenting advice that we grew up with, that we are barraged with, and let our, you know, just really trusting our instincts. But he also has some good parenting advice. He's a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a child psychologist, family psychologist, and he's got some good stuff to add in there. I'm writing an article on good enough parenting. So it was a very good timing that this book showed up from Servant Books. Advice Worth Ignoring, Dr. Ray Gurundi. I'll have that review up. Like I said, I sat down to write that review this morning, and at 6 o'clock this morning, I sat down to write the review, and at 9:50, nearly 4 hours later, Allison still hadn't done it. You know, part of my ministry is social media. So I hadn't really felt like I'd given a lot of love to my social media lately, especially because this week on the blog, on the website Reconciled to You, we launched our Catholic Women's Bloggers Network blog hop for December, Keeping Christ and Christmas. So I wanted to spend some time sharing all those wonderful blogs that are posted there. Again, reconciledtoyou.com. You can see CWBN blog hop if you're interested in finding out different ways that you and your family can keep Christ in Christmas. And you can also, during this break, go to www.hashtag, written the word out, hashtag CatholicChic, CHIC.com, and check out these wonderful subscriptions, subscription boxes. Love them. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alice Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Apparently, I should stop. I should probably finish that sip of water next time before I decide to welcome you back. I just got so excited. The music was playing. I have a really great book and topic to share with you today, and I just couldn't help myself. Just got overexcited. I'm like a kid at Christmas. Good time of the year for that. Okay, I hope you're keeping warm. I think most of this country is going to be under quite a chill, if you're not already at it. We are about 30 degrees here. It's supposed to get below zero before tomorrow morning. I love the Northeast with all my heart, but I hate being cold. The older I get, the more I dislike it. And I suppose that's also the blessing and the curse of losing weight. Like, I love that I'm, you know, finally starting to shed some of that weight and be a healthier Allison. But I really miss the extra insulation. It's to keep me nice and toasty. Anyway, so keep warm. Be sure to check on the elderly and the pets, as they say. I love that. I don't know why. Like, my godmother's house, I guess I'm just really blessed. My godmother is 92 years old. Her house is so hot, but I guess that blessing, her priorities for where she puts her money. I know that many elderly have to make really critical decisions with their money, as it's just so sad to spend your whole life working and supporting and paying taxes and all those good things, and then you end up scrimping and saving in the end of your life. And that's going to be me. I know that. So I don't know why I have such sympathy for people like that. Anyway, she doesn't scrimp when it comes to heating oil. She lives in the house she was born in. Can you imagine? I love visiting her. I love talking to her. And if you have not yet visited in a really long time, any elderly relative you have, please make a point to do that during your this Advent and Christmas season. Ask them the stories. Like, I have been so blessed to spend the last 2 years going once a week to take care of her, to clean her home, to just be with her. And the stories I've learned, like, my great grandmother gave birth to two little babies that died at birth. Like, that's such, one died shortly after birth. He got sick, he got influenza and died. And the other one had the cord wrapped around his neck. And just thinking about how strong my great grandmother was, I never would have known this about her. She was sweet and she was strong. And, you know, those are pretty serious things to have to go through. And just real quick, and then I promise I'm going to get on to Seven Secrets of Confession, Vinnie Flynn. This is a really funny story. So I was there helping my godmother, and she's also my great aunt. And she asked me to clean her tub. So I, you know, was cleaning the tub. I stopped it up for a minute just to, you know, spread the water around and get it clean. And then I couldn't get the water to go down. And I'm playing with it and trying to get the water down. She hears me. She comes in, poor little thing, hunched over, 92, trying to get the water to go down, the stopper to let go. Can't get it done. We're both like, oh, frustrated. She's like, well, I'll call them, you know, someone in the morning to fix it. And I said, that I'm so sorry. I felt awful. Like, here I am to help. And so I go back in and I'm finished and cleaning. And then I just get this inspiration. Now, this house my great grandfather built. It's his home, his pride and joy. I know Portuguese men. I know their pride of home, their pride of their children and wanting to take care of them. And so out loud, I say to my great grandfather, this is your house and your daughter needs you right now. Fix this for me. True story. And so I reach down for the little stopper thing, the thing that goes up and down on the bottom of the tub. And I just push it down gently, gently, and the whole thing cleans out. I just laughed. My godmother got goosebumps. She loved it because, you know, she hasn't seen her dad in, 50 years maybe? He died pretty young. I don't remember. He died before I was born, I'm pretty sure. And so 48, I'm 48 years old. So probably close to 50 years since she's seen her dad. And just that moment to know that, you know, he really still cares for it. And that veil between heaven and earth, it's not that thick. It really isn't that thick. Those holy souls, those great cloud of witnesses who gone before us, who can pray for us. We want to pray for them always. And so I offered up some extra prayers for him. I visit his grave, him and my great grandmother, my visavor is what we call her. It's Portuguese for great grandmother. And I've been praying for them. And just to see that, I don't know, you can call it a coincidence. You could call it, you know, whatever, crap luck. It wasn't the toilet, but it's still the bathroom. But it wasn't. I truly, truly believe that I had a little miracle, a little help from heaven or purgatory or wherever he is at this point. And I was very grateful. And it was very sweet to share that with her. So visit your elderly. Keep warm. Let's talk about sin. That's a terrible transition, isn't it? That's too funny. I'm just cracking myself up this morning. Sometimes it's not always good for me to get up at 6 o'clock and stay up, especially when I went to bed at like 1. I don't need much sleep. I don't like sleep. I'm always afraid I'm going to miss something. It's why I can't wear contact lenses, because I don't blink enough. True story. I said to the eye doctor, you think I'm afraid I'm going to miss something? I don't want to blink. So let's look at Secrets of the Eucharist. No, Secrets of Confession. Vinnie Flynn, Mercy Song, and in collaboration with Ignatius Press. Secret number one, sin doesn't change God. God, by the way, is unchanging. St. Faustina, from her diary, writes, God is not subject to to eclipse or change. He is forever one and the same. I trust in you, Jesus, for you are unchangeable. You are always the same, full of mercy. That's really important for us to understand that God's love, and that's really that we're going to take away from today, I hope, at the end of today, after we talk about this, is that God loves you. God, you are created out of God's love for you. I was thinking about my parents, and my mom on my wedding night said to me, "We had you to save our marriage. That's why we decided to have another baby, to save our marriage." Well, my parents are divorced. So, and they have been since I was 16, and it was around 16. I don't think it was the first time she'd ever said that to me at 21 at my night before my wedding. But yeah, we had some great conversations, my mom and I, but she said it, I think, earlier, because from like 16 on, I felt kind of like a failure. Like my one duty in life, the one thing I was created for, I failed to do. And that feels kind of horrible. I'm created to keep these two people together, and they didn't. And we're told that, you know, we're created out of love. I used to teach this for the Archdiocese of Boston, this Created for Love program. And there are some people who are whose life started with a rape or, a hookup, or there's like no love there. And you think, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can I be created out of love? This is my thought process this morning as I was pondering this idea of God's love for us and being created out of love, and that our sin separates us from God, it separates us from Him. And I used to think that when I did something wrong, it made God not love me anymore. But God can't not love me. And that's the love we are created out of. Regardless of the actual circumstance of our birth, of the two people who God, cooperate in the creation of my life, who co-cooperate with God, co-create with God. He's the creator of life, but we're given this great gift of cooperation. That's not the word. Creation. Co-creation. You know what I'm trying to get to. But the two people who are involved, their love can certainly bring upon a baby, and the marital act of love can bring children into the world. But the real love that we're created from is God's, and that's unchanging, and that's not circumstantial, and that's not conditional, and that's pretty amazing. And nothing we do can separate us from that love. Nothing. He doesn't stop loving us because we disappoint Him. I mean, as a parent myself, I don't stop loving my kids when they make poor choices. It breaks my heart. I wish better for them. I try to direct them and console them. And all that I do as a parent is based on my model from God as my father, as my parent. I'm created in His image. And so therefore, my behaviors, though far from perfect most of the time. Did you hear that I'm writing a thing called Good Enough Parenting? Yeah. It's not, I'm not the perfect parent. I'm not even like a half perfect parent. I'm pretty messed up at this parenting thing, but I love my children and I love the three of them wholeheartedly. I even love the two who I never got to meet yet, who are in heaven with God. Because I do believe in the mercy of God to take unborn children, miscarried and stillborn baby, to take all those children who don't have a chance at baptism because of loss. I do believe in the mercy of God that they're in heaven. And I call them my saints, Saint Diana and Saint Chris. And I turn to them all the time for help, for intercession, especially with their siblings. And that my love for them doesn't change. I might get disappointed, but it's only because I want what's best for them. I want them to be safe, happy. I want them to know Christ and to follow Him so that they have life eternal. Like, these were all my hopes and my dreams for them. And God has hopes and dreams for us. And of course, that's for us to be with Him forever in heaven. And sometimes we fall short and we make poor choices, or our sins, which are probably most of them not going to change in our lifetime. They're our tendencies. They're who we are. They're the things that we are drawn to. Doesn't change His love for us. And this great, great sacrament, which we're going to talk when we come back, it's not just a sacrament of your get out of hell free card, but it is a sacrament of healing. And it's recognizing that it was a healing that was really the transformation. We see in the catechism that the sacrament of reconciliation is a radical transformation of one's heart and mind towards God. And That's what I want to talk to you about today when we come back. Seven Secrets of Confession. The author is Vinnie Flynn. This is out from Mercy Song, Ignatius Press. And you are going to love what God has to say to you when we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Couple of things I wanted to draw your attention to. I'm hoping to travel to a pilgrimage to Poland. That's where we're going in October 2017. For more information, go to reconciledtoyou.com. Would love to have you along. Looks like it's going to cost about $3,500, which is about right for 10 days, including a few meals, all your airfare and your rooms and entrances into all the places we're going to visit, including Auschwitz. And we're going to see the Eucharistic miracle in Poland. And of course, St. Faustina's, the Shrine of St. Faustina, and lots of stuff to do with Pope St. John Paul II. That's how you say that. So go to reconciledtoyou.com if you're interested in more information on our traveling, our pilgrimage to Poland. Again, those alliterations are killing me this morning. our pilgrimage to Poland, October 2017. We are looking this morning at the seven secrets of confession. We're talking about just some of the things I was sharing. That, let's see, where was I talking about? Sin doesn't change God. He's unchanging. He loves us incredibly. That even if you don't feel like you were created out of love, and you're from your own home, from your family, from your parents, know that the love that you were created, that's unchanging, the unfailing, is God's great love for you. Secret number two, it's not just about forgiveness. Here's what really transformed me when it came to confession and why I became a frequent flyer in the confessional. It's a sacrament of healing. The sacrament of healing. We come to confession, St. Faustina writes, to be healed. That's huge. And it all kind of started many years ago when I had these really great friends and we were very close and we had a falling out and I felt so abandoned. I thought like they were the answer to my prayer. We studied scripture together. We did all kinds of Christian things together, but they didn't love the Catholic faith. In fact, they all ended up leaving the Catholic faith to follow the evangelical faith. And they still love Christ so much. And I thought we could still be friends, but you know, you really do need to have common things in order to, you know, sustain a friendship. And it just wasn't working. My heart was being just drawn more and more to the Eucharist and Catholic writers and Catholic events, and that they just weren't interested in that at all. And we didn't go to Mass together anymore. And so Sundays were different. Our activities were different. And they liked scrapbook and I stunk at it. So there was all that. And I just felt abandoned and sad and lonely and mad, really mad at just not completely being able to process everything. I was mad at them. I was mad at somebody who I thought was kind of a catalyst in this whole thing. And I wished that they could have stepped up and maybe the outcome would have been different. I was confused. I was mad at God. There was just so much anger and bitterness. Bitterness is the pill you swallow, hoping the other person will die. And in the middle of all that, it was also still struggling with a great deal of things with my mother and some other unresolved issues. And I switched churches. I just couldn't keep going to the church we all belong to. Too many memories. Just, it was uncomfortable and I didn't want to be there anymore. So I switched to the church that actually my husband and I met at, and they had Saturday adoration, which I'd never really even heard of before up until this point. This is about 2009. Never really even, I mean, kind of heard of adoration, but And that, again, is when Jesus in the Eucharist, which we believe the bread, the host is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Once it's been consecrated during a mass, he's placed in a very fancy holder because he is, of course, God. He should be in something that is it's simple, humble, yet it's, he's, you know, the king. It's like, let's elevate him as such, right? So they're all different shapes, but they basically have the same. The round middle part is a clear glass with the host behind it. It's gold. It's sometimes ordained. Ornate. Sometimes it's very simple. But he's put up on the altar, and you can come anytime that he's out there, and he's never left alone, and you can spend some time in quiet prayer, reflection, worship, adoration, there you go, with Christ. And I had never really heard too much about it. So I went to daily mass this one Saturday, and I'm leaving, and my friend's mom, my seed planter, I call her, because it's really her faith that drew me into want to know more about Catholicism and about Christ and about the scriptures and prayer. Just such a wonderful, holy woman. And she told me about how they had it every Saturday and that they needed an adorer. They needed an extra person from 2:30 to 3:30 every Saturday. They didn't have anybody. And I kind of, you know, hemmed and hawed, went back and forth, kind of went in, looked like, waited for her to hopefully leave, and went back out. She was still there. She's like, did you sign up? No, ma'am. Back I went in, and I'm like, all right, fine. I'll sign up for 2:30 to 3:30. I'll do it for a few weeks, and then I'll find a new person to cover me. It's like, just couldn't say no to her. God's so funny. He'll use all means to bring you to where he wants you. He answers your prayers, those groanings of your heart, even when you don't know you're asking. It's just amazing the way God answers prayer. So long story short, I started going every Saturday from 2:30 to 3:30. Lo and behold, confession is also at that time. It's from 3 to 3:30. And there was this cold spell in the middle of the winter where 3 weeks in a row, the priest came over for confession and nobody showed up. Well, at least the first 2 weeks, nobody showed up. So I went the first week. I figured, hey, it's been a while. I should go. The second week, the second priest that came over was a little older than the first priest that came over. It was a little colder, and I felt bad that he'd come over. I thought, well, it's only been a week, but I'm sure I can think of something. And so I went to confession again. Third week, really old priest in really crappy weather came over, and there was still nobody coming. I thought, oh my gosh, going to confession 3 weeks in a row, this is insane. But yet when I sat there, I really could think of more. And a lot of it had to do with this unresolved bitterness and anger and sadness and disappointment and all of these emotions that kept leading me into sin, into gossip, into anger, bitterness, not praying, not turning to God, just being self-absorbed, cranky, all kinds of stuff. Maybe I was being crabby at home, and that was spilling into my parenting. There was just a whole bunch of junk happening. And I, after this third confession, by the way, I came out and there was a line of people, and I was like, God, you tricked me. But it was good that he tricked me, because during that week, something different was happening. I was like, why am I not so angry anymore? Why am I so slow to anger? Where before I would get so quick to anger, I could just hear one of their names and I would instantly go right back to that place of being sad and upset, and I wasn't going there. And even I had more patience. I felt more at peace. I'm like, something is up. And that's when I pulled out my Catechism of the Catholic Church and looked up confession. Like, the only thing I'd done differently the last 3 weeks was added more confession. I'm like, I just knew the Holy Spirit had just 2x4'd me in the back of the head. Like, this is the change. So I looked it up in the Catechism. And as Vinnie Flynn is talking about here in the Seven Secrets of Confession, he's really, I'm kind of giving you the Catechism in a more laid out vernacular way. But, you know, we have that it's a sacrament of healing, and it's not just about forgiveness. It's about being sorry, of course, and contrite. But what God gives you is this grace. All the sacraments have this effect of grace in your life. They all bring in grace. And that grace helps us to love God more deeply, to follow what he's called of us, to live a virtuous life. Like, the grace that God has for us is so abundant and so important, and we get it through prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And I never knew any of that. and I never knew the healing power of the sacrament of confession. Shortly after that, the Lord introduced me to somebody, Father Richard Gribble, and we started setting up appointments for confession. And for probably almost 3 years, I went to confession almost weekly. And it felt a little bit sometimes a little over the top. I thought, oh my gosh, am I getting too scrupulous? Am I going too deep? But I don't think you can. I don't think we as humans can ever, I mean, there is that sin that you can think every single little thing you do is sin. But I don't think that self-knowledge, self-awareness can ever be a bad thing. This really caused me at this time. I had a spiritual director, Deacon Jerry Ryan, who I still have. Praise the Lord. So he's going to be 80 next year. He doesn't look it. It's kind of amazing, though. He feels it, and he is battling prostate cancer. So just keep him in your prayers, too. If I could have a Christmas present, it would be to pray for others. Just anyone you ever hear about, pray your news feed. Anyway, anyone I talk about here, just offer them a quick prayer. You're always in my prayers as well. And if you want specific prayers, I'll come back to what I'm talking about in the next segment, but we're running out of time on this one. So just want to mention prayers. I'm going to adoration tomorrow. And if you go to Allison Jigris on Facebook, you'll see where you can leave your prayer request. You can also go to Instagram at Reconcile to You. There's a place to leave a prayer request. And I'm always available at, yes, aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com or allison@breadboxmedia.com. I think that this gift to pray for other people is so crucial. And it's part of that whole forgiving and healing. And with this grace from reconciliation, this is where my life went, where I started to become less absorbed with myself and more outwardly focused, looking that other people had pain, other people needed help. And that I don't think I would have got there, though, if I first hadn't healed myself, if I first hadn't brought all of this to Christ and left it at his feet in the sacrament of reconciliation. Such an incredible gift. We come back. We're going to look at Christ as the priest, as in persona Christi, as we did with the seven secrets of the Eucharist, where in the Mass and the consecration, we see that the priest acts in the place of Christ. He does that in the confessional, too. Really cool stuff. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingris here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingris here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about many things. We started off by talking about the new subscription box for Catholic gals, for Catholic chicks, called hashtag Catholic Chic. Catholic Chic. It's a subscription box. Go visit, go check it out. It takes care of mind, body, and soul. This box this month had coloring pages and soap and cute little rosary ring, an ornament, prayer requests. I loved it. And lip gloss. I mean, hello, how can you go wrong with this stuff? Smelt good. I felt good opening it. Can't wait for next month. I subscribed. Go check it out. Hashtag Catholic Chic. Good stuff. And we've also been talking about Seven Secrets of Confession, follow-up to Seven Secrets of the Eucharist, Vinnie Flynn's first book, the second book, and then tomorrow when he's here, 10 a.m. live here on Seeking Heart, we'll talk about his newest book, Seven Secrets of Mercy. There's also another one in there, 21 Ways to Adoration, I think. I forgot about that one, so maybe we can talk about that with him as well. He's a guy after my own heart because I love the number seven, born on 7/7. I'm really drawn to the number seven. Of course, we know in Bible language, it's the perfect number, the number of perfection. So yeah, there I am. I'm 7/7, a perfect mess. No, I'm just perfectly human, just like you, right? That's why we get along so well. That's why you and I are friends, because we're both perfectly human and we both have a seeking heart, seeking the Lord. Vinny talks in here about having a seeking heart. I thought that was very cool. I mean, he didn't completely call it that way, but he talks about how we are connected to God through our hearts. So just to, because I know me, I know I'm a little distracted today because this is such an incredible topic. It's my whole ministry, Reconciled to You. I've been talking about forgiveness and the sacrament of reconciliation now for 7 years. It's just, there's so much to tell you about it. I can't express enough how freeing it is, how transformative it is, how if you are stuck, it is your way free. It is your way free. It is such a gift from God to free us. So knowing me and knowing that once I get back into the text with only a few, you know, this last segment left, I'm going to forget to give you all of them. And I know people like closure. So let me list the 7 secrets and then we'll jump back into them. Secret number 1, sin doesn't change God. Secret number 2, I think I said sin number 1, didn't I? Secret number 2, it's not just about forgiveness. Secret number 3, your sin is different from my sin. Secret number 4, confession is never really private. Now, I'm going to get to that one, but in case I don't, he sits in persona Christi. The priest sits in the place of Christ. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's also there as a representative of church, of the church in whole. So we think of when we sin, we're just separating ourselves from God. Or maybe even some people think it's just hurting myself. I'm not hurting anybody else. But you are. You're separating yourself from God. And it also is a hurt on the church. It's a mark on the church. And we actually give evil power when we sin. We give it, the whole entity of evil in the world, we give it more strength when we add our sins upon it. Think about that for a minute. Secret number 5, you've got mail. Okay. Secret number 6, new wine needs new skins, and that's transformative power of forgiveness. And secret number 7, you have to let go of your chains. Then he also gives you a bonus secret. Don't forget the hors d'oeuvres. And he tells you how to go through confession. It's good stuff. And change your, he's got a thing in here, the afterwards, change oil, change your oil. And how, you know, the maintenance of our car keeps it healthy by changing the oil. But I also think more of Matthew Kelly's analogy where it comes to confession in the car. I love this. If you go and you get your car detailed, cleaned out, the next time you have a McDonald's wrapper, you're going to be a little less likely to throw it on the floor because it's clean. You're going to take your cup when you leave. You're not going to throw the gum wrapper in the door handle. you're a little bit more cautious with your car and how clean you keep it. But let that first paper fall and all bets are off. As soon as we've dropped that first, you know, left that first book bag in the backseat or dropped that first wrapper, left that first coffee cup there, then we find it's easier to drop the next coffee cup or drop the next paper on the ground, leave the mail, the junk mail in the front seat for a while. This is exactly the way Matthew Kelly explains happens to our souls when we go to confession. When we go to confession, we've cleaned it out. We're less likely to jump back into those temptations, those sins. We're a little slower and it would go maybe a little longer without falling into them. But once we do, it's kind of like a domino effect. And I like that analogy. I just think it really works for me. And that's why I like to go frequently. And I don't go weekly anymore. Frequently for me is either every other week or at minimum once a month. If I know something, I've done something really grave, it's on my heart, I go instantly. I just go right away. But most of the time, like are things that we, the gossip or judgment or, you know, those little things, they add up. But they're forgiven when we go to confession, I mean, receive the Eucharist. But we still, a good confession, it's so much more than just, again, your get out of hell free card, but it's that time of spiritual direction, that time of saying these things, bringing them into the light, letting God have them, letting them heal you, set you free. Some things we keep in our minds, in the darkness of our minds, like that's where the devil lives. Like he's the prince of darkness, and he can really blow stuff out of proportion and make it worse than it is. Or we can feel like there's no way, even if it's really horrible, we're holding it in, and we convince ourselves it can't ever be changed, that God can't ever fix that or change it or forgive us. But when we speak it into the light, the prince of the light is Jesus. When we speak these out, when we bring them into the light of day, then Christ shines his light upon them. And we see it's either not as bad as we thought, or we realize and recognize, especially in the when the priest speaks to us in that person of Christ, in persona Christi, that we are forgiven, that they are taken away from us. People say to me all the time, well, I just tell God in my head, you know, I'll walk the beach and just tell God that I'm sorry. And I get that. Like every day should end with an examination of your conscience. You should spend every day, the end, going, what did I do? And what did I fail to do that brought me closer or separated me from God? That's important stuff. But the real gift of the sacrament of reconciliation is being told the words, you are forgiven. There's no guesswork in that. We don't have to wonder, wonder if God forgives me. Did God hear me? Does God care? Yeah, we get that right there with this person who sacrificed their lives to be Christ in the world to us. Quite literally, in persona Christi, he's right there, Christ. Like, so if you're afraid to go to confession, don't think of this as telling the priest, but telling Christ. Like you have Christ's ear, and all he wants to do is heal you. It's not a sacrament of trying to humiliate you or condemn you. It's a sacrament of trying to free you, of heal you. And once we get past that fear, and once we start to see it that way, oh my goodness, you just have no idea what God is going to do with that. It's amazing. I wrote in my notes, it was crucial to my life. It was life-changing. It was transformative. It's not, Vinnie Flynn writes here, once I began to realize that sin is not just about bad behavior, but a refusal of God's love, and that confession is not just about forgiveness, but about healing, everything changed. My examine now became more complicated and much more fruitful. My list still includes behaviors, but now I also had to consider anything that seemed wrong in my relationship with God. I had to look deeper into my daily life and ask myself some hard questions. And some of those questions that he shares here again, Seven Secrets of Confession, Vinnie Flynn. In what areas of my life am I not at peace? Where am I angry, depressed, discouraged, anxious, bitter, or resentful? Where am I too focused on myself? What areas of my life, my thoughts, my desires, have I not yet given over to Christ as Lord? What wouldn't I want to talk to Jesus about? What would I not want him to see? In what ways am I responding to what God wants me to do? That's quite an examination, if I do say so myself. So just have a minute left to make sure I hit on all those points that I wanted to share with you today. We'll be talking about this so much more in 2017 as we move into the new format of A Seeking Heart, which will still have books and we'll still have interviews, but I really want to focus on prayer, sacrament, and scripture, and how building that foundation in our lives really can transform us and bring us closer to Christ. And that's my final point for today's talk about confession, is that in the end, this needs to cause a conversion. This needs to cause a change in you and I. We can't be the same person. The really great thing about encountering Christ is you really are never the same person again. But this is a radical transformation, as the Catechism tells us. When we come into confession, we're contrite, we're asking God to heal us, to strengthen us, to make us more like him, to grow us in the grace that he gives us, to not choose the way that separates us, but to continually grow in holiness, be sanctified by him, and to grow in the person he has created us to be. Wow, right? Good stuff. Can't wait to talk to Vinnie Flynn tomorrow. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.